Holy Spirit revival, and that starts in the heart of individuals. It starts in the heart of believers. Unsaved folk, of course, cannot experience revival. Revival is for born-again people. And so I want us to look tonight in the Word of God on the subject of revival, the steps of revival. Now, I could ask as I begin this message, do we need revival? And I think I've already answered that question. Yes, we do need revival. And I trust tonight, if you're a believer, that you want revival. You want a moving of the Spirit of God, a refreshing from God that only God can give. Now, in thinking about revival, I came across this illustration that I think illustrates the truth. An artist, a famous artist, and her husband had a beautiful, sweet, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, rosy-cheeked little girl. That girl died. They went through all the heartache of the sickness and all the heartache of that funeral and all the sorrow that was involved in committing that little body, of course, to the ground. After the funeral was over, the noted artist decided she would paint a picture of her daughter. So she got the canvas out and stretched it on the frame, then got the oil out and began to paint a picture of that beautiful daughter. When she got through, I mean, it was just so beautiful, the rosy cheeks, the blue eyes, and the blonde hair. And when people would come and look at that painting, they said, it looks real. It looks as if the girl could just speak out of that painting. But something happened. As the days and weeks passed, the painting began to fade. The colors began to fade. And the noted artist thought, well, what's the problem? So she got the oils out and thought, well, maybe there's a problem with the oil. Then she discovered, no, the problem wasn't with the oil. Then she looked at the canvas, and she discovered that the canvas was an inferior piece of cloth, of canvas, that would not hold the color. Now, I don't understand that, but it would not hold the color. And so she got the oils again and began to touch up that beautiful painting again until the rosy cheeks were there, the blue eyes were there, and the beauty was there again. And as I began to think of that illustration, we're the canvas. The Spirit of God has done a great work in our heart. A great work in our heart. But something happens. And that is, because of the canvas, because of ours, we need to be retouched every now and then. So the beauty of the things of God might show forth to others around us, that they might see Christ in us. Now that's revival. To allow the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and touch us up to be what we ought to be for the glory of God. Now, as I begin to think about that and develop this message, there are many places in the Word of God where you read the word return. Now, you can't return unless you've been there. That's why I made the statement, revival is for Christians that are born again. And if you're here tonight, you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be born again and to be forgiven of your sin and have eternal life. But if you are saved tonight, then there are some areas in which we need to return to get back to that place where we can be what God wants us to be. Now, as we look at that, I want to share these places with you from the Word of God, going first of all to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi, the third chapter. And you note in every one of these places, God is talking to His people, and He's talking to His people about returning. For instance, Malachi 3 and verse number 7, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Now once again, He's talking to His people. And He said here in this passage that they needed to return unto Him, unto the me And the me there, of course, has to do with God. Has to do with the Lord. Now, the first step in revival actually is return to the things of the Lord. To return to Him once again. And as I think of that, we can go back to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the second chapter. And in Jeremiah, the second chapter, in verse number 13, we read, "For my people," once again, it's talking about God's people, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me and the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now you look at this verse again. It says, "For my people committed two evils. They forsaken me," that's the Lord, "the fountain of living water, and they've hewed them out a cistern that can hold no water." Now, what value is a cistern if it would not hold water? It's no value whatsoever. I worked on a farm, and we had to be in the barn at 4:30 in the morning because we milk 100 cows morning and night. And on that farm, there was a hill there, just across the road, the dirt road, from the house and from the barn. And on top of that hill, there was a windmill. And that windmill was continually pumping, and the water would go into a large cistern on top of that hill. From that hill, from that cistern, there was a pipe that went down to the barn to take care of those 100 milk cows and all the other livestock. There was another pipe that came down to the house to provide water for the house. Now, what value would that cistern be if it was broken? You see, the pump was still pumping, though. The pump was still pumping. But what value if the cistern's broken? Now, as I think of this, God looks at His people and said, "They've forsaken me. They've committed two evils. And they've hewed them out cisterns that can hold no water." And I'm afraid sometimes if we're not careful in our churches, we're going through all the ritualism of service and whatnot, and it's simply a cistern, but there's no water in it. There's no power in it. And so God says that to His people, "Return unto me, the fountain of living water, and what? He'll bring the blessing. He'll bring the blessing." My, the tremendous truth of that. I think of Revelation chapter 2, another passage in Scripture, and I'm not going to turn to it because of time. But God talks about the Laodicean church and how that they thought they had everything. And God said to them, "Repent and return." Need to repent and return so that they might experience God's power and God's blessing. I think of Peter. Peter is a great disciple. And I like to read about Peter and study about it. But Peter was one of these disciples, very vocal. I mean, when situations came up, he was one of the first ones that would speak. He was the man that, of course, said, "Lord, I'll die for you. Lord, I'll not deny you," and all that. But listen, the Bible says in John chapter 21, after the resurrection, Peter said, "I'm going to go fishing." Now, God had called him from fishing. But he said, "I'm going to go fishing." And the Bible says he forsook the Lord and they went and fished all night and caught nothing. Wow, what a great picture. And I think about that tonight as I think about revival and the blessing of God. The first step, return unto me, return unto Him. Are we fishing all night, catching nothing? I've been in the northern part of the state in a meeting right up on the border between Oregon and California, and a great church up there. Great church and a great testimony and many, many people saved during that meeting. But well, listen, while I was there, the pastor, a great man of God, had a boat. Now, don't go away from this meeting tonight saying it's wrong to have a boat, because I'm not telling you it's wrong to have a boat. But the pastor of that church up there in Northern California had a boat, and he named the boat Visitation. And when somebody would call up the church office and talk to the secretary and the pastor was not in, the secretary would say, "The pastor is out on visitation." And nobody knew that he was out on the boat. They thought he was out calling. Now, some of you folk, some of the men maybe, and even ladies, like to go out and visit the greens every now and then. No, listen, dear friends, is that true of us? And I say it kindly tonight. Are we going through the motion? We're going through the motion. We're going through the motion. And I believe as we go through the motion, if we're not careful, it's a cistern without water. We've got everything that stands for everything. We got everything that's right. We believe what's right. We take a stand on what's right. We try to live what's right. But there's no water. Is that true? Oh, and I think about it in my own life, and I think about it in churches. I think about today, the first step of revival and the touch of that canvas, God says, is return to me. Return once again to that first love. Now the second step, I note in the Scripture, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30, and as we look at this Scripture, chapter 30 and verse number 2, once again he talks about returning to him. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 2, "And shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey His voice, according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul." Now the second step is return unto the Lord and obey. And obey Him. And the Bible says, thou and thy children need to obey. Now obey what? Look at what it says in that verse. And there are many places it's found in Scripture. We're to obey His voice according to all that I command thee. I meet people today, so I don't think it's important to be baptized. Well, tell God that. Don't tell me that. People say, I don't think it's important to belong to a church. Well, tell the Lord that. People say, I don't think it's wrong. To do this and that. And they name things. They justify the way they live. They justify the way they live. They say, I don't think there's any... Well, tell God that. I was in a church, and it was a very interesting church. People would come in the auditorium and Sunday school and whatnot. They're drinking coffee in the pew. They're drinking Pepsi Cola. They were drinking Coca-Cola. They were drinking everything in the pew and so on. When they got through drinking it, they just put the cans down and so on right there and so on. And the pastor said to me, he was a dear man of God and trying to do a great work. He said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with these people? I said, listen, get in front of that church, in front of that Sunday school class, in that elder department, have a blackboard, and just put down concerning salvation, what it means to be saved. And then I said, after you present salvation, then I put that, what does the Lord expect of me since I got saved? And ask those people, what does the Lord expect of me? Oh, somebody might get embarrassed. Put that on the board. Put that on the board. God expects that we be different. God expects there be something in life that we return and obey His Word. And my, there's so much disobedience today when it comes to the things of Scripture. I hear people say, well, I don't think that's important. Well, tell God that. There's some great preachers on TV and on the radio that you hear. And I hear people say, they're just great. But you know something? There's some Scriptures they never preach on. Well, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. We need to preach the whole counsel of God. So we need to return and obey. It's like a church I know pastor's been a pastor of that church for many years. Many years. And he said this to me. He said, I have a meeting in that church every year. And he said to me, he said, I have a family in this church that are members of this church in all the years that I've been pastor of this church, 30, 40 years or whatever it is. He said, that one family have never been to any service in this church. And I said, you mean they've never been out to Sunday school? He said, that's right. I said, you mean they've never been to church service? He said, that's right. I said, you mean they've never been Sunday night? He said, that's right. I said, they've never been here Wednesday night? He said, that's right. He said, in all the years I've been pastor here, they've never been to one service. And I looked at that dear man of God, a good friend, and I said, well, how come they're members? He said, you don't understand. Every year, we get a sizable check from them. Now listen carefully, I'm going to say, God doesn't want your money, He wants you. And if He has you, you're going to obey the Word of God when it comes to tithing, when it comes to giving, when it comes to separation, when it comes to living for Him. But God wants us. But that dear couple, that dear family, justified their not coming by giving money, a sizable check. And perhaps it's pretty hard to turn down a sizable check. But oh, listen, you see, the first step, return unto the Lord. Second step, return and obey. Thou and thy children. And oh, dear friend, many times I see it. Parents come to church and I say to them in a kind way, where's the children? So all their world home doing schoolwork. Or they say they're home watching TV. And I say, what? They're home? They think that's more important? You think that's more important than bringing your children to a revival and coming to church service? You think that's more important? It's not more important. And the problem is, with that type of thing, we raise children in our home that when they graduate from high school or whatever, they never come to church. Why? Because parents did not obey. Thou and their children. That's what the Bible says. All right, the last step. The last step for revival that's found in the Word of God is found in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter. The 7th chapter and verse number 3. 1 Samuel 7 and verse number 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Now the third step is to return to Him and obey and put away some strange gods. Now I'm not going to list tonight the strange gods. But there's a lot of strange gods that have infiltrated lives and homes today that's hindering the power and blessing of God. And God simply says here to the children of Israel and would say to us, return, return, and obey, and put away the strange gods. Now, I was in a church. I had a music man that was with me during that meeting. And they had a Christian school. And so during the school chapel services, we were sharing with young people the danger of rock music. The danger even of some contemporary music. Not being judgmental, just sharing with them the truth. Because many, many young people today do not understand what's involved. And so we're sharing with young people in that school concerning the truth, things that they ought to know. Not being judgmental whatsoever, just giving the facts. And when the service started at night, when I was preaching and gave the invitation, there was a teenager sitting in the back on the right side. And as I gave the invitation, that teenager stood up. And he came forward. And he was carrying with him a stack of records and CDs or whatever. He came forward and got on his knees. And I'll never forget him. He started to weep. He said, oh God, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? I didn't know. I didn't know. And he presented that strange God on the altar. I want to tell you something. We had a great meeting in that church. You see, we hang on to so many things. Hang on to it. Hang on to it. And we try to justify it, say that. No, no. God says in this passage, we're to put away those things. Put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only, and He'll deliver thee. I listen. I've been preaching many years. Thank God for it. Many years. I started preaching when I was 17. And we used to get up behind the pulpit and pound the pulpit and pound the pulpit and pound the pulpit and preach on things. And today there's no preaching on those things. Wasn't it bad back then? Yes, it was. Aren't those same things sin today? You can say amen if you want to. Yes, they are. Oh, we say, but things are different. No, 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 no. If it was bad back then, if it was sin back then, if it was wicked back then it's sin and wickedness today. It's just that we don't want to offend anybody. Oh, listen, dear friend. That's why we do not have revival. Three simple steps, remember them. Return unto the Lord. Return and obey. And put away the strange gods. Now, everything that I've said thus far is found in one verse of Scripture. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now those three steps are right there. They're right there. Tremendous verse. I close tonight by a poem that I came across by Mrs. Charles Bell. I've never met her. But as I think of the words of this poem, it's the desire of my heart, and I trust it will be yours. Mrs. Charles Bell wrote these words, humbly now, O Lord, I pray, send revival here today. All my coldness, all my sin, all my doubtings deep within, forgive them, Lord, and cleanse away. Oh, send revival here today. Humbly, Lord, I ask of Thee, send this awakening to me, emptied out of self and pride. Thy light no longer will I hide. And, oh, dear Lord, use me, I pray, to bring revival here today. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I preached to Christians tonight. That's why I said as I began this message, if you're not saved tonight, God wants to save you. You can be born again tonight. But if you're a Christian tonight, and you profess that you've been born again by the Spirit of God, then, dear friend, we need to acknowledge that we need revival. We need to be retouched, the canvas. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts and lives. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you dear folk tonight, and revival has always started with just a few people, how many of you dear folk tonight, honestly now, say, yes, I want revival. May not be anything in your life or heart that you know of that displeases God, but you want revival. And if some of the things that we've mentioned tonight from the Word of God apply, then you're willing to do something about it. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you'll slip your hand up and indicate, yes, I want revival. You'll slip your hands up. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. Wonderful. Heavenly Father, speak to us now. Oh, speak to us. May these not be just words. May our hands not be just raised because others have raised their hand. But Lord, deep in our heart tonight, may we sincerely desire revival and the blessing of God upon our hearts and lives. Revival here in this church. Revival in our hearts and lives. Oh, God, send it. Help us to take those three steps that are necessary to revival, that we might claim the promises of God. And we'll praise you and love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 327 tonight. 327, a great song entitled, Jesus is Calling. Let's stand as we sing it. Jesus Calling. I'm going to sing a couple verses. I do not have the hymn book here tonight, but you know the words of it. And as we sing the first and second verse, I'd like to invite folk tonight. If you raised your hand or you didn't, but God spoke to your heart, I'd like to invite you to come and as a group tonight, all stand across this altar. Just stand here and pray. Stand here and talk to the Lord. Oh, I know you can do it where you stand. I know that. But I believe we need to just step out. Step out and come as individuals and just stand here at this altar and pray and talk to the Lord. And as we sing the first and second verses of this song, just take that step and come as we sing together. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Calling today, Jesus is calling the weary to rest. Calling today, calling today. Bring him your burden and you shall be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. As the pianist keeps playing it, just come. Just talk to the Lord here concerning relationship with Him and revival in your own hearts. Just come. You don't have to be a member of the church to come. Just come. Just come and gather here and pray together. The Bible says if two or three are gathered together in His name, He's in the midst. The Bible says we agree, it shall be done. And just talk to the Lord right now. I think of this third verse, and I read it before we just spend time in prayer. Jesus waiting. Oh, come to Him now. Waiting today, waiting today. Come with your sins and at His feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. What a wonderful Savior that invites us to come to Him. And in the few moments, right now, before the pastor closes in prayer, just talk to the Lord. Don't be afraid to weep a bit. Say, oh God, my canvas needs to be touched up. I want to see revival. I want to see Your blessing.